Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Abundant Solutions Hour. Our goal is to help others be more, do more, and have more. I'm your host tonight, Gregory Turner.
And I'm your host, co-host, Brian J. Henderson.
Brian, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. How about you, Greg?
Man, I'm doing good, Brian. I think you want to sing tonight. That's what it sounds like. You trying to sing? You trying to get a contract or something?
Well, I might hit a note or two, you know. I used to be a pretty decent, well, I was all right. I wasn't too bad.
Okay. But you know what, Brian? A lot of people are struggling. A lot of people have dreams. They have goals. But they don't know how to push themselves to get to where they need to be. I think a lot of it has to do with doubt. I know a lot of it has to do with hanging around negative people and the, you know, just the influences on their lives. And people are buying into, well, maybe I can sing, maybe I can be the next American Idol, maybe I can do this and maybe I can do that, but they are afraid of pushing themselves all the way and believing God that he's going to do just what he promised them that he would do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you were in the group, Brian, and you were singing and you were doing your thing, what was it like for you? I mean, I know you felt that you were the top dog. I know you figured that you were the top man at the time, right?
You know, when I had my group a couple years, well, actually, that's been about 12 years now. You know, I had my group, and, you know, we were trying to get out there and, you know, and do our thing, and we were singing, and we had a good time. You know, and I really didn't understand a whole lot about the business. I was just having fun. And then, you know, what I learned, you know, in that fun that we were having, I learned about the business, you know, of the music industry and so forth. And I realized that it was a business. You know, it was more than just having fun. And, you know, for some reason, I couldn't really fathom myself not having fun while I was doing music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, once I realized how at times it was actually very cutthroat.
Yeah. But, you know, we hear that all the time about the business, the business, the business. But what about God?
Yeah, yeah. You know, in my music past, I actually started out, you know, in singing in my church. You know, and then I went on in my high school, we had a gospel choir. And actually, in my middle school, we had a gospel choir, so it was kind of ironic. And, you know, I grew up singing gospel music. You know, and so when I actually went into the secular music world, and, you know, I kind of, you know, changed my whole, you know, persona of singing gospel, and I started singing secular music, I had fun, but it really wasn't what God, I just... You know, I believe that it wasn't what God wanted me to do because I wasn't successful in doing that. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I really wasn't successful in doing, you know, in having a musical career. You know, and it was because I didn't have God in my equation. You know. But tonight, we have an individual who I know personally as well as professionally. And our show tonight is called Higher Heights. And I think we're going to have a great time in the Lord tonight, you know, because who we have on is a man who is anointed. You know, he's anointed and he's appointed, and what he does with his voice not only entertains you, but it also blesses you. And tonight I'd like to introduce to you all Mr. Javen Campbell. Javen, are you there?
I'm here, man. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, welcome to the Abundant Solutions Hour.
How you doing, Javen?
Thank you, sir. How are you, Greg?
All right.
I like that little intro y'all was doing there with the, yeah, what you say, people got negative people around them and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, did you have that problem, Javen, when you were coming up, negative people coming in your path, trying to stop you from doing what you're doing, and some people say, well, you know, Javen, you're dreaming too big. You can't do that. You're just from right around here with us. You're just one of us. You can't do that.
Well, you know what? Not a slam against the church, but you know, the reality is some of the most negative people are in church, religious people. I call it religious spirit. But you, some of the most negative people are in church. You know, it's the instead of the can do statements, it's usually the can't do statements, all the stuff you can't do. And so growing up in church myself, my father being a bishop there in South Florida, I'm now based here in Los Angeles, California, but I'm originally from Hollywood, Florida. And then I went to school, which is what Brian talked about. We went to high school in a city called Hollandale, Florida, and that's where my dad pastored for 20-some-odd years. And growing up in church, you know, everything was can't do. You know, everything was, you know, go sit down somewhere, you don't know anything. So if you had any kind of church experience at all, I'm sure at some point you ran across somebody that told you you couldn't do this or you couldn't do that.
Yes.
And it does affect you.
Yes.
Yeah, Javen, you know, let's talk a little bit about our hometown, you know. All right, in the South.
You say you talk about it. You don't need me to talk about it for him. It's been a lot longer since I've been going than you.
Yeah, I know it.
I may not remember. I may get some things wrong. I left there for a long time ago.
You know, I just want to, you know, and I'm going to highlight these things because, you know, I think it's a great.
And stop calling me by my full name. I go by one name, Javen. You know, you can always, hey, Greg, you can always tell these people that know you from back in the day, they go call them. I'm surprised you ain't going to call them a middle initial and everything.
No.
One name, Brian, just Javen, right, that's all.
Javen, I got you.
All right. Now, what do you want me to talk about? Sunnies? Talking about the breakfast spot across the street from the church? The Sunnies, the breakfast spot across the street from the high school or the barbecue joint that used to be there called Hawkins? What do you want me to talk about?
I want to talk about Lowell Lampkin.
Lowell Lampkin.
Yes.
Talk about him.
You know, we had a high school music teacher by the name of Lowell Lampkin. And, you know, Javen and I were in the ensemble chorus together. We were in the concert chorus together. And we just had a ball. And, you know, and the thing that was really striking, and I know Javen will laugh when I say this, but everybody wanted to be like Javen. Everybody who could sing wanted to be as good as Javen.
Now, let me tell you something. That's new to me.
You didn't know. I know it.
See, I didn't know that at all.
That was one of the things that nobody ever said it, but it was like we always compared ourselves to you. Because you led most of the songs, you know. You get us crunk, you know.
That's funny.
And so when you left, it sort of the crown sort of fell to a couple of us, you know. And so sometimes I'd lead some songs, sometimes somebody else would lead some songs, and we found ourselves trying to sound like Javen.
Yeah. Funny.
You know. And so now that you know that, how does it feel to carry the torch? Because, you know, there's a lot of people back home, when they hear about Javen and they see you on TV, you know, you're the neighborhood son. You made it in their eyes. You know, how does it feel to be sort of like the ambassador for Hollandale High? Because that's what I consider you as when I see you.
Right. Greg, you got to rescue me. He done went to title and giving me titles and everything. I'm an ambassador. Well, I'll tell you, I will tell you, I'm flattered by the statement you just made about everybody wanting to be like me, because I didn't know that. That was the first time I heard that or even caught wind of any of that from back in those days. Now, to kind of address the second half of the question, far as in, you know, what I'm doing now and all that kind of stuff, you know, I recently came back to Hollandale to do either a concert here or an appearance there or whatever. And one of those times of going back, just when after the movie was released, they gave me an award from the high school. The alumni department did. I think it's like in the first annual, first alumni to be in a feature film or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember walking away from that feeling, you know, a pretty blessed and pretty honored, to be honest with you, because, you know, when you're out here doing, working and, you know, knocking on doors and pushing and, you know, doing all the things that it takes to be successful on any level, you're not thinking about, oh, boy, I'm going to have everybody back home, you know, happy for me, or I'm going to have somebody back home give me an award, or I'm going to talk to a Brian on the radio station one day and he's going to say, you know, hey, listen, man, I consider you to be an ambassador. You know, you're just thinking, you know, just work hard, get it done, you know, fulfill your assignment. I think that that's the misconception of success, is that you can have this mentality that, oh, I'm going to prove something to somebody, or, oh, I'm going to, you know, show somebody, I'm going to show them how I did it and whatnot. If you walk into this line of work, or any line of work for that matter, trying to prove something, if that's your motivation for trying to be successful, I think you're not going to be successful. I think it's going to be short-lived, and that'll only get you so far. You gotta focus on what you know you have to offer, I think, to this world at large. And here's the thing I want to say about that. If you don't have anything to offer, then you need to go find out, first off, what that is. And then secondly, if you know what that is, and say what you're getting ready to present is not ready yet, or if it's not that good, there's nothing wrong with that. Just go back to the drawing board and fix it. There's nothing, I think people a lot of people are not walking in success because they are afraid of falling. And fear keeps them at the safety ground of never stepping out. And you cannot be afraid to fall, because even if you fall, you have the right, the authority, and the power to get back up and try it again. If I write that, I mean, you kidding me? There's tons of songs that I've written that have been sung and that have been played on the radio and that have been paid for. But there are tons of songs that I've written that I'd pay you not to hear, you know. So you're not going to always get it right.
Yeah. Right. Well, Javen, you know, when you first started out, you had to, you know, beat the doors down trying to get heard, trying to get out there. What pushed you, or what was it that made you continue to push toward your dreams and goals when people were closing the doors in your face and they didn't know who you were?
Great question, Greg. First off, I still have to beat doors and still have to knock on doors. It's an ever evolving business. You know, you're always having to do something better than what you did before, and you're always looking for that next opportunity. So the myth of, you know, success being a place, it doesn't exist. Success is a journey. So every step and every day is a new opportunity for either another good thing, good idea, or being careful not to make a bad choice or a bad decision. I think to answer your question, far as what drove me, was just the fact that I felt like this was something that I could not live without.
Wow.
The thing I tell people all the time is, don't get involved in something if you really can't live without it. It's better that you don't get involved with it, because it's going to just disappoint you. It's going to let you down. It's going to hurt you. You're going to waste a whole lot of time, and you're going to get nowhere fast. But if it's something you just can't live without, and if it's something that you just cannot, you know, you've just got to be doing that and whatnot, then to me, I think those are clues to what your destiny and what your purpose is, and what that next level for you is or are. And the thing about that is, when you recognize that, you got to couple that with faith and with boldness and with courage, you know, because we all have that thing. We have that promise and we have that dream, but what we don't do is go to that next level of wrapping those dreams and that promise with faith, courage, and boldness. You know, it's not enough to have a dream. It's not enough to have a promise. You know, you got to couple that with faith that tells you you can do any and everything in regards to what you see in the natural. You got to have that boldness that puts you in front of people, even when you are afraid and may not think you can remember the words to the songs, or may not be able to hit the notes, and when you got a whole bunch of other people that look better than you, that have a higher range than you, and can do more riffs than you can, you know? And then you need to have that courage that just kind of keeps you locked in no matter what. Because, see, that kind of love for music and that kind of love for whatever field you're going to work in or do in will cause you to build your own stage when they won't give you one. My mentality was always, I'm going to come to y'all to give me a chance, but even if you don't give me a chance, I'm going to go and make my own stage, and I'm going to sing. So I'm going to be singing whether I get paid to sing or whether I'm singing for free. But here's what I know I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be singing.
Yeah. Jason, you know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you also is, you know, what else motivated you towards singing? I knew you grew up singing and, you know, you were in high school singing. Probably from when you were born you were singing. But what else was your motivation? Was there something else other than the fact that, hey, I want to sing?
You know what, Brian? It's a very good question. Obviously, you know, you being a part of my childhood, you know, us going to high school, obviously Minister Lowell Lampkin of Hollandale, Florida, was a big influence on, how should we say, crooning that gift or directing that gift in the right way. When I was a lot younger at home, I have a brother named John Campbell, who's in the wheelchair, but has a tremendous love for music. So back when the LP days, then on into CDs, I would go in his room because obviously I was a kid, I couldn't afford anything. So I would go in and listen to his LPs and listen to his music and listen to his CDs for hours. And while the music played, I would just read the back of the credits. So that was a young kid trying to figure out who was doing backup for who, who was playing the piano, who was producing who, and how it all tied in. Because when you start looking at some of those things back in the day, a lot of those people worked together and were backing each other and writing songs for each other and that kind of thing. And that intrigued me. And so I would say definitely that had a lot to do with it. But then something happened, Brian, and I guess that would say this probably kicked in probably during my high school years. So you would have been around when this happened. And that is, I started seeing the response of people when I would sing. I started seeing the effect that I had on people or that the music had on the people or the singing had on the people when I would open my mouth and sing and that kind of thing. And it made me want to really do something with the gift. But now, here's the curveball, or here's the smoking gun, or however you want to put it. I really didn't set out to have a career in music. When I left high school, I went into college. I went straight from high school into college, and I was going to study to be a psychologist. That's what I wanted to do, because as much as I liked singing at the time, I also liked counseling people, and I liked helping people on an individual basis, so I wanted to be a psychologist. So I went to school for that. Just so happens that the school that I went to had a choir or had a chorus, a choir group, just a campus choir at the time, and so I just did it just because, you know, the singing is what I did, the hobby and whatnot. But I'm still not thinking, boy, I'm going to have a career in music. I'm thinking I'll just keep my chops warm by singing in this choir. Only thing is, but with the choir, you got to audition. So that means the leader has to hear each person individually. So he heard me individually that way. Now, fast forward. We get to our first concert, or getting ready to prepare for our first concert, and the director asked me to stay after class one day. I'm thinking in my head, now, I ain't been to this school for a minute, so I know I ain't got in trouble that fast. and when I stay after the school, the other thing was that the type of music was predominantly white-style music, proper singing and whatnot. I had and still do have a pretty raspy voice, pretty kind of R&B gospel kind of voice, so it didn't kind of, you know, I'm really just kind of staying in the background and just hoping to blend in. And he says to me, there's a song that I have, and I want you to lead the song. I'm thinking, okay, if you think I can sing y'all this type of music, I'll give it a shot. Well, man, I sung that song at that first concert. We sung it. The first time I sung it was at a sound check rehearsal. And when I sung it, man, the choir, all these kids, about 100 voice choir, the choir went crazy. These kids started screaming and hollering and yelling and that kind of thing. So immediately the buzz started going around on campus. There's this new guy on campus that can sing, you know. So y'all got to come to our concert. So we're doing this. So we go and we do this concert. And when we're at this concert, I'm 18 years old, just got to the school. I mean, it ain't even 2 months. I just got to the school, 18 years old. And when I go to sing, there was a manager for a group at that time called Harvest that was in the audience. And when I sung at that concert, the next month or the next day or the next week, whatever, I can't remember how long it was, they put a lookout for me and said, this guy's looking for you. He's all over campus. This guy, you need to go to his office. So I finally went to his office, and he gave me a job singing. He said, I want to hire you as a singer. I have a group of about 6 singers, and we go on the weekends, but I'll make sure I have you back for school. Because at that time, keep in mind, I'm thinking I'm going to be a psychologist, so everything's about school. I got to get back. You know, that music thing is cool, and it's cool you're going to pay me, but I need to be back for school. And he says to me, I'm going to make sure I have you back every Monday morning for school, but I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars. You come on the weekend, and you sing with me, sing with the group, and this, that, and the other. And he gave me my first job. That was my first professional job singing, and that man's Danny Murray. And he became extremely pivotal throughout my music career and business life, because he really started mentoring me on that next level of professionalism as I would travel literally on weekends. There's no telling where we'd be. I'd say bye to my friends on Friday for the last class, and I'd jump on a tour bus, and I could be going anywhere from California to New York to Texas, and, you know, you name it. You know, and sometimes, and then during the summer, we toured the whole time. So we could fly as far as, you know, China or Europe and all that kind of stuff. So that was my first experience in doing music on a professional level. I don't even know if I answered your question or not, but anyways, that's that.
Oh, yes, you did. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Abundant Solutions Hour. If you have a comment or question for our special guest, Javen, you can call us at 718-508-9600. That's 718-508-9600.
Evan, who all can hear this? What areas?
We actually are cast on the Internet, so it's worldwide.
Worldwide.
So everybody.
Y'all can call even if you're in Germany right now.
Yes, sir.
Amazing. Well, then, let me say this. Let me do a quick commercial plug here. JavenOnline.com is my website. My name is spelled J-A-V-E-N, and then online, O-N-L-I-N-E, .com. That's my website. And then for those that are really hip that have their MySpace thing going on, my MySpace page is the same thing. So you do MySpace.com/JavenOnline, and you guys stop by there and say hey to me and join my MySpace page. I want as many friends as possible because I love people. And you'll get a chance to hear my latest CD, which is the Believer CD, which has everybody on there that are good. Well, not everybody, but some cool friends of mine, Dietrich Haddon, gospel singer Dietrich Haddon, Jamie Jones, who used to be, y'all need to have Dietrich on here, by the way, Jamie Jones from All for One. Remember that group?
I swear,
remember them?
Yeah.
By the moon and the stars. Don't act like y'all been saved all y'all life. Don't wait. Come on, get real, Greg. Greg over there, try to be quiet. You know you got that.
Hey, man, I got questions for you.
You know, it's funny, Javen, because Greg told me, he said, you got to get him to sing. And look at
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
Yeah. It's done. Javen, you know, so much of what you do is about your passion. You know, and God has given you this beautiful gift, and you're not wasting it. You know, when you sing before people and it's touching people and the spirit is moving, what was that like the first time that you felt that spirit moving in you and God just took over the microphone and you felt like, this is not me, this is all God? What did that feel like?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because that happens quite often in my situation. I can't speak for everybody, and I'm not trying to be extra spiritual or anything like that, because anybody knows me knows I'm an absolute cut up, and y'all pray for me. But I tell you, that happens more often than not every time I sing. As a matter of fact, one prayer that I always pray before I hit any stage to this day is, you know, Holy Spirit, use me, you know, and let it not be about anything but you using me. And I pray that even if I'm singing, I've had opportunities to sing in a lot of secular vendors and do a lot of secular shows and whatnot, and I pray that same prayer even in doing that. But to answer your question, the first time it was very overwhelming. And honestly, to this day, sometimes it can still be very overwhelming. There's nothing like the presence of God.
Yes.
And there's nothing like feeling the power and the energy of God and knowing that his presence is that close and that strong, not only around you, but in you, and then allowing yourself to be this channel, to be used by an awesome God to anoint and bless people that he considers some of the most special creatures on the face of this earth. It's a very overwhelming feeling, and if you're not careful, sometimes it can, and it has sometimes, it's literally overtaken me to where I've had to catch my breath or stop singing, you know, or wipe the tears back or whatever, because the power of God is real, it's strong, and it destroys the yokes of negativity and of situations in people's lives. Of course, the music itself is influential and it's powerful in its own right, but when you couple that with the anointing of God, you cannot lose for sake of having an incredible experience. We also know that, you know, God is a musical God. You know, music is mentioned all throughout the Bible. One of the first instruments was the tambourine. And anytime there was any type of warfare that took place in any of the holy wars and situations that took place in the Old Testament, they always sent the music first and sent the what we call the praises first. And set the atmosphere, because literally when you sing under the anointing of God, then people's lives, situations have the ability to literally change.
Right.
And I always often tell people, you know, they say, how do you know if somebody's anointed or not and that kind of thing? You know if they're anointed, if people's lives have changed when they get through. That's what it's all about. And so to answer your question, it was an overwhelming feeling. It was an awesome experience, and it is even to this day, and it's a friendly reminder to me, you know, when I feel God's presence like that, I get to singing certain songs, even, you know, that because some songs are testimonial songs, some songs are revelatory, you know, and then some songs are to encourage and to uplift, and especially when you get to, I love helping people, that's my heart, so especially when I get a chance to sing a song like Count It All Joy, you know, or a song like I'll Be All Right, I'll Be Okay, or one of my new tunes called Wipe Away My Tears, Thank You for Wipe Away My Tears. You get a chance to sing an opportunity song like that and begin to minister to people or touch people through that music. It literally, to me, energizes, and I become the little kid again. I become the little boy running around in my mom's house because it's that friendly reminder that God is still with me.
Yes.
You know, no matter what, God is still with me, and he still has his hands of approval on what it is I'm doing. And to be honest with you, you know, if I have to do this and I don't get that feeling, then I'd just soon not do it.
Wow.
If you're just listening in, you're listening to the Abundant Solutions Hour. 718-508-9600 is the call-in number. And, Javen, we're going to go to the phone lines right now. And we're going to go to the caller at the 561 area code. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the Abundant Solutions Hour.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing, Javen?
Doing good. How you doing? What's your name?
My name is Fadia.
Fadia, what's up?
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? 561, that's what, Palm Beach? That's what
Palm
Beach.
Palm Beach, you came here to sing one time at my church.
Oh, what church is that?
Winners Church.
Of course. How could it be any other church in Palm Beach but Winners Church?
Okay, so you know exactly where that church is then, okay?
Without question. Tell Whitney I said hey.
I have a... Oh, okay. I'll definitely let him know. I have a question for you. I am in the choir at the church. And I've been at this church for like 2 years now, And, you know, I've been rehearsing and looking for opportunities to, you know, be in the forefront. I really want to have a solo because I really like singing. And for some reason, sometimes a solo will go to someone that, you know, who might not really have the voice that, I, you know, just someone I wouldn't have thought to get the solo, they might get it. I'm kind of concerned. I don't know if, you know, maybe it's not my right time or, you know.
Then can I ask you something right quick? Do you audition for lead songs? Is that how they pick them, or how do they pick the lead part?
Oh, our connection is back. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, her connection is bad.
Hello?
Yes.
We can hear you now.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes.
Okay.
He asked, did you audition for your part, for the lead song?
Yeah, I do audition. Every time there's a solo, I'll audition, and I might not get the part for whatever reason. You know, I really don't know, you know, where the person who's the head of the music ministry is pastor's wife, and I don't really know how to, you know, I don't want to just approach her and say, well, why didn't I get that solo, because I don't feel that's my place. But, you know, I really like to sing, and I would like to sing in the church, but I find myself like having to go elsewhere, like singing, you know, the local Kravitz Center or just singing in other churches even, and I don't want to leave my church. I feel like I'm at a really great church and I can grow and prosper there. And
what is your question?
I'm just trying to, like, you know, I'm wondering, you know, if my ministry is in the church, you know, if I should be trying, you know, to stay singing in the church, if 'cause I feel like I'm turning my back on my own church when I go to other churches and sing, you know?
Well, here's how I'll answer it. What's your name again?
Nadia.
Nadia, right?
It's
Fadia.
It's Nadia.
Fadia.
Yeah.
Okay. Fadia, here's I'm going to try to answer your question. You know, obviously, we don't have enough time to really, you know, delve into all the details of it, but I'm going to try to do my best to give you a good, clean answer on what you just brought up. Number one, I think that you should audition for any and every song you think that you qualify for. Number two, if you don't get the audition, I think it's okay if you do it in respect and do it for your own purposes, far as in knowing where you need to improve on, and not for sake of, hey, I can't believe y'all didn't give me that song, that lead part for that last song. I think if you do it in the right spirit, the first one, then I think it is okay to go to the leader and say, I noticed I auditioned for the past two songs or whatever, and never gotten any of the lead parts. And I just want to know, can you give me some pointers on, you know, or what, maybe what I can do for why I'm possibly not getting these leads, you know? And at that point, you can get they'll give you an honest opinion and let you know, well, maybe it doesn't fit your style voice, or maybe it doesn't fit your range, or this, that, and the other. And that gives you an opportunity to kind of better know where you need to kind of pocket your vocal skills when it comes to which songs you should lead for. Because let's face it, we all think that, you know, we're good enough to sing just about any and everything. You know, when I first started singing, I used to think I could sing anybody's song. You know, you name it, you know, I pretty much can do it. And then I had to finally start realizing that, you know, certain styles, certain ranges and whatnot, that was my niche, that was my market, that's what I could do. The rest of that stuff I had to leave for somebody else. They needed to do that. So that's the first thing I'll tell you. That's the second thing I'll tell you. Thirdly, being a former music minister myself, music pastor at a very large church, having to deal with a lot of different soloists and all that kind of stuff, don't ever assume that it's personal when you don't get a part for a song or whatnot. Because a lot of times when we are picking people for different songs and whatnot, honestly, it's just strictly by the book. When I was a music pastor, I wasn't really you know, I felt like, you know, we were mature enough, and if you weren't mature enough, you got enough word to get mature. So I'm not going to sit here and baby you. If you don't fit the song, I'm not giving you the part. If the other person over here, if she does better than you, then I'm going to give it to her. So whoever did it the best way, you know, usually I went with that. Irregardless, no, obviously people didn't agree, or sometimes you have people that had their own opinion. But you know what? There's only one leader, and everybody needs to respect that leader. When you obviously, you know, so be it. God puts you in charge one day, and you're the leader. Everybody's not going to agree with the choices you make and the people you pick. But, you know, that's how it is. Now, fourthly, the thing I'll tell you that I think it's good that you said that you're doing, that I actually think is a good thing, and I encourage people all over to do this, and that is don't, you know, maybe God has put you there in your church to for that to be your serving time. You know, everybody that's going to be on stage or everybody that's going to have the spotlight on them has to have avenues and places where they have to take back the back seat, so to speak. And because it keeps you grounded. God has a way of I like to say it this way. God has a way of helping you get over yourself. And sometimes that may be what that is for you. God may want you to be in the choir there, but yet he's still opening doors, obviously, for you to go out other places and sing and minister and bless people. But when you come back home, he wants you to come back in the fold and just, you know, get back there in the number and sing and listen and be a part and support whoever is up there, and then he's going to continue to open doors for you to go out. Now, I don't think that has anything to do with you leaving your church. I think that'd be crazy of you to leave your church because you didn't get a solo in the choir or something like that. That'd be the if I can be real frank with you, that'd be the stupidest thing I think that anybody could ever do. What your church and you being a part of the church and God placing you at a certain place has nothing to do with if we get solos in church, or if we get a chance to preach, or if we get a chance to do our liturgical dance, or all these other things that people want to jump up and do in church. That should not be the reason or the point in being a part of a church at all. As a matter of fact, the one thing that I want to do when I come off the road, I want to sit down. I don't like to go to a church. I visited some other church when I first got here, and every time I'd walk in, they wanted me to grab the mic and sing and that kind of stuff. I couldn't go there. So I didn't make those churches my home church. I went and found a church where they would allow me to be me, and I could go in the congregation, sit my behind down, and listen to the choir, the praise team, and let them sing, and I could sing along with them from the congregation, because all of us, if God has already started opening doors for you to be used on the outside, that's all the more reason, to be honest with you, Vadia, for you to be in the choir and not singing lead. Because our number one issue as singers and as musicians, as entertainers, is our ego, and God has a way, like I said again, of allowing us to get over ourselves by making sure we stay in check. I'm not saying that's what's going on with you, but I'm just saying a lot of times that is what God will do. But I encourage you, like I said, have a respectful conversation with your leader, and just make sure there's something, you know, maybe there's something you can learn out of that. And then, you know, but continue to audition. You know, I audition all the time out here for movies and whatnot. I get rejected all the time. There's no reason for me to stop doing what I'm doing. There's certainly no reason for you to stop doing what you're doing.
Right. Well, another question I had for you.
Go ahead.
I just want to make sure I get my question. I wrote them down. So.
Go ahead, baby.
I just want to know, like, how did you know, like, when did you know that, you know, that gospel music is the genre that you want to stick to and nothing else?
When everybody kept buying the gospel CD. When all the gospel people kept buying the gospel CDs. So, on a professional level, you got to listen. You know, I can answer that question kind of like in a spiritual way or whatever, or I can answer it in a practical way, and I'm going to choose to answer it in a practical way. The level of music that I'm doing now, it's a numbers game. I'm in the business of what is known as entertainment or music or whatever, and it just so happens my music worships God, and it serves to move his purpose, and we title that gospel music, or some people title it Christian contemporary music, whatever. The point I'm trying to make is I can't, even if I wanted to do, I like a lot of different styles of music, but the reality is this: my biggest fan base or my biggest support base is in the gospel market. So it doesn't make sense for an artist to go try and be a rock star when his, it'd be the same like somebody trying to sing rock music when you know your biggest following is in hip hop. Yeah, because the label is not going to do that, because at the end of the day, they need to see the numbers. That you know, who's buying your CDs and that kind of thing. So my, so the thing for you would be, if you are testing the waters right now, you're singing different types of music and that kind of thing, and you're getting a better response and getting more of a response from a certain style or a certain type of music, then those are clues to what genre of music you need to do. I like, they'll probably kick me out of half of the religious circles with this statement, but I'm of the opinion that you can sing whatever music you want to sing, as long as it does not come against the word of God or come against the values of who and what Christ is in your life. But the idea of thinking that all our children have to just sing gospel music, I think is crazy, you know, and I think that we need more people in more areas of entertainment. We need more believers, put it that way, in more areas of entertainment, and shut some of this foolishness that's down on these secular way air stations and all that kind of stuff. And we're not going to be able to do that if everybody's sitting over in church singing to one another.
That's Amen. True. That's true, Javen. Javen, we're going to go to another caller from the 317 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hello, this is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
I knew it was Nikki.
Hey, Nikki.
How you doing?
317, I don't know where that's at. You got me on that one.
That's Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Oh, okay, all right. I've been there. Y'all got cold winters up there, I tell you that.
Yeah, they really do. I really didn't have much to say. I'm not the singer. I just love to sing to the Lord in my own private time. But I just wanted to know, did you go ahead and do the psychology thing?
Good question. I'm glad you actually reminded me of that. I actually did. I got several opportunities. Here's a quick funny story. There's a very popular group in country right now, which they've actually outsold a lot of R&B and pop acts, and it's a group called Rascal Flatts. And there is a young man in that group by the name of Jay DeMarcus. We actually went to college together and actually sung in that same group, Harvest, that I talked about earlier in the show. We actually sung together, so technically we kind of started out together in music. And at that time, Jay had talked to me about coming to Nashville and doing some, forming a group and all that kind of stuff at that point, and I turned it down because I wanted to finish school. And, you know, some people say, oh, you should have took that opportunity, and some people say, you know, whatever. But for me, my dad, unfortunately, took ill with cancer my second year in college, and on his deathbed, his last wish was for, you know, he wanted me to finish not only school, but he wanted me to finish at that particular school. And so I felt like, I needed to honor him with that more than anything. And so I did finish, and I do have a BA degree in family counseling and psychology. So if you need some help. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Hello? I think I ran off.
I wanted to comment to the young lady that you just got through talking to.
Yeah.
If she hears me out there, if you singing to the Lord, that's all that matters.
Good.
And then if we singing to the Lord, we won't have to worry about being picked for anything, because we're doing what we're supposed to do, singing to him. So if all praises and glory and honor is dedicated to him, then it doesn't matter anyway whether you get it or not.
Good. Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, we all, that's why I say, you know, God has a way of, you know, always, to me, if I'm doing something, and if I don't get the accolade for it, or if I don't get the opportunity to do the certain thing or whatnot, I see it as a way of God putting me in check, in the sense that that's not for you, or, you know, chill out, you know, you're doing too much, or you got too much going on, you know, take a break or whatever. And for some of us, we've been on the break for a while, but hey, you know, maybe there's something else that God has for you. And to me, I think it's about fulfilling his purpose and fulfilling the promises that he has for your life. And you know what? I don't want it this year in 2007 if he wants me to have it in 2008, because he knows something about me that I don't know, that he's cool enough and loves me enough to say, hey, listen, if I gave this thing to you now, it would destroy your life. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have to chill out for the next 7 or 8 months, or however long it takes, to get us 2008, and then that's when I'm going to release you, or that's when I'm going to do the blessings. Who cares when it comes? Just as long as you know it's going to come.
And as long as we prepare for it when it do come.
Exactly. Now you gonna cause me to preach now, because I'm gonna tell you, the stage. I tell people all the time. My saying is this: the stage comes up on everybody's show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that everybody's not ready.
That's right.
Everybody gets the opportunity.
Well, amen, and God bless you, and I thank you for having me on again. I didn't want to say much.
Thank you for stopping by and go on my MySpace page and join my come on my friend.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, lady.
You know, Javen, I want you to tell us a little bit about some of the things you have coming up.
Oh, boy. Well, I tell you, let's see. The movie One Night with the King that we released last year, that opened at number 9, is available now on DVD. And as a matter of fact, that's available on our website. That's the story of Esther, has Peter Omar Sharif, Peter O'Toole, and Tiny Lister from Friday, and then, of course, myself. And so that's available, and people can still grab that if they haven't had a chance to see it. I think every woman, every little girl, every young lady at least should have this in their collection because it really speaks to the young lady that started with nothing, but God switched that thing around and gave her everything. And so that's available on our website, Javen Online. Also, we are getting ready to start a clothing line of T-shirts. And, well, we already have T-shirts, but we're going to add cool buckles to it, hats, and some other apparel. So be on the lookout for that. Again, all the stuff you can find, information you can find out on javenonline.com. We are, let's see, I launched I have a one-hour internet music radio show called Life that's available on the Urban Network. As a matter of fact, we just went daily. So every day now, between the hours of 4 to 5 Pacific Coast Standard Time, and I think there's 7 to 8 y'all time, I'm not sure, you can log on to urbannetwork.com and catch our radio show called Life, and it's my show, me hosting different special guests that comes through there, and play a lot of cool music and all that good stuff. I give pointers on life and how to get through different scenarios. I am presently getting ready to do another deal, and so obviously we're getting ready to go back in the studio and hopefully try to crank out another album here pretty soon. Of course, the Believer CD, we are still promoting that very heavy, which I didn't mention, by the way. Israel Houghton is also on there with me, and Tim Miner is on there with me singing. We have a video. We just released a video called Celebrate, which is one of the hits from the Believer CD, and that's been in real heavy rotation with BET, Word, Daystar, Gospel Music Channel, GMC. So look for that video along with the our old favorite called Sacrifice, which is another video.
That's my
phone. First CD, yeah. People really love that one. That one's charted. That went to number 1 and it's up the hot list on the GMC. So we got that going. I also did an appearance on a compilation CD with that's getting ready to come out in October with Dietrich Haddon. It's called The Worship Experience. It's myself, Tone, William Murphy, Shirley Murdoch, of course, Dietrich Haddon, Demita Haddon. And so be on the lookout for that CD and DVD. That's supposed to be coming out soon. And I just also did an appearance on Clint Brown's latest CD that I think just got released or is getting ready to be released. So when you buy his CD called Fall Like Rain, I think you can catch it. There's a duet that I do with him on that. And everything else is just working the grind. We're still doing some auditions, still looking at some possible movie opportunities. And so as it comes up, we always keep people updated and informed on our website at javenonline.com or at our MySpace page, which is also Javen Online. And one of the other cool things that I'm really big on, and that's missions work. So we are, and I want to say that we are spokesperson for the World Vision Mission Program, which goes around the world feeding needy children and clothing them and giving them education, a very legit mission program. Every dollar that's spent literally goes to the kids. We assign one kid to per sponsor, and you stay with that kid until he or she is an adult. And if you want to find out more information about that, call our office at 310-490-7019. I have my own kid in China that I adopted. It's just literally a dollar a day, and it's so awesome to see. Well, I was recently this year I came back from. We did a 7-day tour in Africa, and got a chance to do the medical supplies and went to the villages and helped the people there. And then we did free concerts and that kind of thing. And it was just amazing. Even way out there in the huts, we saw the World Vision sign out there. So definitely, if somebody's out there and you're saying, I want to, that's something I've been wanting to get involved in, I'd love for you to be a part of my team and adopt a kid through World Vision. It'll change your life, literally. It will change your life. One of the other mission program that we are partners with is Hope for Haiti with Demetrius Kids, because I believe Haiti, the Haiti people are our kin folks. They are our cousins. They are our family. When we went to Africa and studied, one of the things I did was I walked through what is known as the slave castles. And in West Africa is where most of the slaves, people that were captured and then sold into slavery, came from. And these people were Africans when they went into the castle, but on the other side of the castle was the ocean. And so they would put these people and they'd stay in these dungeons, and then they would lock them down and put them on these boats. And you know the story. They would ship them out. And most of those people ended up in the Caribbean. This is why you get the deep colors of the Puerto Ricans and whatnot. They ended up there. A lot of them ended up in South America. The Portuguese were very heavy in slavery. And so that's why a lot of the Brazilian people and whatnot are brown-skinned people and so forth. And then, of course, they ended up in America. So, but a lot of these people came from the west coast of Africa, which would be considered Ghana, the country of Ghana. And it's just been amazing how I not only had a chance to go back to Africa and minister to them and those people there, but also be a part of a great missions program called Hope for Haiti to minister to these people as well. Because if we can't give back, I don't care if people say, well, I'm waiting to get rich to give back. If you're waiting to get rich, you ain't never going to get rich to give back. You got to give from whatever state you're at. If all you can give is 50 cents, then you start there, because God blesses your seed. You can't get a harvest if you don't sow a seed. And so that's something that we're very big on, very big on missions programs. This coming November, we're going to be hitting the streets again here in downtown Los Angeles, California, working with the Union Rescue Mission, feeding all of the homeless of Los Angeles. And trust me, y'all, we have a ton. We have city blocks and city blocks of homeless people here, and they are desolate. A lot of folks don't realize many children get caught in the homeless situation because women are running away from abuse in their homes, and they don't have a place to turn to, and some of them get hooked on drugs. And so we are going to be down there, and of course I go down there every two to three months, and minister in the chapel there with the people there at Union Rescue Mission. Love them. We pray for them. We don't sugarcoat the gospel at all. We tell them about Jesus, and we tell them that, you know, there is a hope for their lives. And so we're going to be down there November 17th, feeding just thousands of homeless people and singing for them. And here again, you can keep up with us with all this kind of stuff just by logging on at javenonline.com or myspace.com/javenonline.
Hey, Javen, I had a question for you. I know you've been watching the news today and you saw about what happened with Juanita Bynum and her husband and all this stuff that's going on. And, you know, you see so many families out there fighting, being killed, and husband and wife, you see all this domestic violence. Do you think that this is just a move to that Satan is just trying to move and destroy families? And with the thing that's going on with Juanita Bynum and her husband, you know, people that are on the fence of giving their lives to Christ, once they see something like this, you know, they back up and say, you know what, I might as well stay in the world. If this is happening to them, I might as well stay in the world. So my question is, do you think that it just seems like the devil is just running rampant in the world right now?
Uh-huh.
Is that what it seems like to you?
So your question is what? Do I think it's a spiritual attack?
Yes, yes.
Well, I'll tell you this, and you know, and this is just Javen Theology 101, so, you know, who am I? First off, I know Bishop Weeks, and I know Prophet Juanita Bynum well. Did many different conferences with them and saw the power of God move mightily through their ministry firsthand. And so I can definitely say both of them have been anointed of God for such a time as this. It's unfortunate what has happened. Obviously, we don't know all the details, and so it's kind of hard really to comment on something that you really don't know all the details about. I'll tell you, it is unfortunate that it takes place. We are praying for that family and for the families of several of the leadership right now that's going through that type of scenario or situation.
Yeah.
I think that the I think there's always been Satan has always had it out for the families and the family unit, particularly the marriages, because we all know that that's where the church lies, that's where our future lies, that's where our money lies, that's where our existence lies. If you can't get it at home, you know, chances are you ain't gonna get it nowhere. There's too much foolishness in church for you to really get a solid understanding of what's going on, and there's not enough time to be there to get a solid understanding. You're certainly not gonna get it from the schoolhouse, and you're not gonna get it at work. So if we're not getting solid things in our home front, and I'm gonna say that to young parents, those that have children now, you know, that's flopping around acting stupid, you need to hunker down, anchor down, and pour into your children and spend time with them, and don't take for granted that they know everything or somebody else is going to tell them. No, it's your responsibility, and if you don't know something about a certain topic, you need to pick up a book, read it, and then sit down and talk with them, because it's your responsibility to speak into your child's life. It's not somebody else's responsibility to speak into their life. You need to do it. I don't think that this particular, I must say, though, I don't think that this particular situation is an all-out spiritual attack, so to speak, and whatnot. I think this is the reality of what all of us have to deal with on a daily basis, and that is choices.
Yes.
I'm a believer that Satan is defeated. I'm a believer that that God took care of it 2,000 years ago on the cross, and that the idea that we have to wake up every day and fight demons and devils on a consistent basis leaves us all doomed, so to speak. We have to give God more credit. The opposite of good is bad, the opposite of black is white, and then they say the opposite of Jesus is the devil. That's not true. The devil is not equal to Jesus. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And if we understand that true revelation, then we understand that we have the ability, through and by the Bible says, you shall receive power for that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, meaning you have the ability, through and by the Holy Spirit, to make good, solid choices. And the Bible said, God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, he shall also reap. So I'm not even addressing the Bynum's weak situation right now as much as I'm addressing the spiritual, the subject of spiritual warfare, in the sense that we have to, not that there is not spiritual warfare, but the Bible says battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And so if you can't even function in the world that you exist in now, just being nice to people, just saying hi, or just loving on your kids, how in the world you think you're going to deal with anything on the spiritual level? You need to pray, put your children and put those situations under the blood of Christ, and cover your house, cover these areas by the blood of Jesus. And then you need to be responsible. I think we have, as the body, have to be responsible for our choices. We are broke because we don't work. And if we're working, we're not working hard enough, or we need to look for another job. We are fearful. We're afraid that if we step out of this one job, then another job's not going to work. Some of us are working for people because we're afraid to go start a business. And we don't want to go through that little area of sacrifice. But if you look at the history of anybody, from Walmart to Oprah to any of these people went through serious times, even JCPenney, serious times of sacrifice and losing. And so sometimes we want to sit there and kind of stay in our safety zone, and we don't want to go out and accomplish things. Can I tell you, Greg and Brian, I had to sacrifice many times before getting to this level.
Yeah.
And still do have to take sacrifices sometimes. We don't have time to go into all those different things, but I tell you, you have to, if you want to make it, everybody wants to, you know, I have kids and folks come to me now and say, how do I get there? How do I be where you're at and whatnot? It takes a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice. I'd love to say Jesus just kicked a bunch of doors open for me and I just walked through and it's just been hidey high. No, I had to pray myself through tough times. I've had to wipe my tears and keep on going and trusting God. And watch, here's the thing I can tell you. God is faithful on his word. Whatever you sow, you're going to repeat. He says, if you sow it, you sow that hard work, trust me, you're going to reap the harvest of that hard work. And then that's the same for marriages, for family. We have to love each other. One of our biggest problems as a body is our attitude. It is not the devil. We have sorry attitudes. We walk in church with bad attitudes. We walk into our homes with nasty attitudes. We talk to our children any kind of way. We talk to our coworkers any kind of way. We don't smile. Some of us are racist in the way we treat people, bigots, and that kind of stuff. And you have to address things on the level that God has given you the power to address it. And that is, you already got power over racism. You already got power over bigotry. You got power over nasty attitudes and pride. So just go ahead and put that stuff under your feet and be loving and caring and spend time with each other. I think people that use Juanita Bynum's situation or whatever as an excuse not to come to Christ, then that's, to me, that's on them. Because if you come into Christ because of Juanita, or you come to Christ because of Jake, or you come to Christ because of me or you or anybody, you ain't coming to Christ. You coming to me. I ain't got nothing for you. I ain't got nothing that can I got for you that can change you. The Holy Ghost. So I'm going to point you back to him. So you don't pay no attention to me anyway. Because just as sure as I may make a mistake today or whatever and pull myself back up just like our forefathers did, we can go on that list from Joseph to Daniel to David and all of them. You know, there ain't nothing new under the sun. This has always been happening. There's always been people of God and men of God that have unfortunately made mistakes and have fallen in. But they get back up, and that's the grace of God. And that's the message of Jesus Christ, that his mercy and his grace is sufficient.
Kevin, you hear the music.
I don't want to preach it, Doc.
But it's all right. We just let you go.
That's all right.
I'm done. Love y'all.
All right. That was some good stuff. I mean, Kevin, we truly appreciate you coming on tonight. And we got to have you back, man. We got to have
Please,
you
Please, call Rebecca. Let's do it. I love your show. I love your show. Just yes. Hey, as much as y'all want me to come on, I'd be glad to do it.
Yes, yes.
All right.
My listeners, you've been listening to the Abundant Solutions Hour, where our goal is to help others be more, do more, and have more. Please join us on Monday, where our special guest will be Thelma from Good Times, Bernadette Stannis. She'll come on and she'll talk with us, and she'll share with us what she's doing and also the word. So again, with that being said, we thank you all for listening, and we hope to see you and hear you on Monday.
Thanks, David. Thank you.
All right, love you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Brian.
All right, man.
Love it.
Bye.